Years ago, when Kathy and I were first married, we were introduced to what you would call the faith camp and all the great faith preachers. In fact, some of them we actually sat under. And I can remember, you know, all these faith preachers. I couldn't wait to get home and turn them on the television and listen to their teaching. And I subscribed to their magazines and I got their books and I listened to their tapes. You know, faith, faith, faith. You got to have faith. So we wanted to have faith, and we believed that we had faith. And I don't know about you, but there were times in my life where I knew what these preachers were saying, and I knew what I saw in the Bible, but at the same time, it just seemed like my faith wasn't working. And I don't... I thought I was trusting God, thought I was believing God. Well, you got to have faith. But I do have faith. Well, you got to have more. Okay. I think I have it now. How many of you have been like that, where you honestly believe you're living by faith, and nothing seems to happen? Well, then, on the inside, if you don't watch out, you can start to wonder about all this stuff. Well, that faith stuff doesn't work. Well, those faith preachers, they're just out there. Well, those faith preachers, don't listen to them. They'll just get you messed up. In spite of the fact that when they teach us from God's Word, you can't deny. It's right in here. I mean, there it is. And so, even though we may not verbally express these doubts, the truth of the matter is, on the inside, we've probably all gone through those phases of wondering, okay, well, where is this stuff? Because I am believing God and I am trusting God. I didn't even tell Him so. I'm trusting You, God. You hear me, don't you? And you don't get anything. So what's the deal here? Well, the other day, I'm back there in the office. And just all of a sudden, boom, there it was. I could see it. And it wasn't like I was seeing something I never knew, but I was seeing it from a different angle. You know how on a wheel there are many spokes? Well, I just moved to a different spoke. The Lord took me over to another spoke and said, look at it from here. It's like, this is so, yeah, I see it. I see it. And I'm going to show you today from Scripture why it is that so many people truly believe that they're living by faith. Now get this, they are, but they aren't. They're living by faith, but they aren't living by faith. You say, well, that sounds like a contradiction. Well, you'll understand it by the time we're finished. Let's review very quickly some of these verses that we're taught to look at and taught to read and so on and so forth, the verses that we've heard so many times. Look over in Galatians chapter 3. And there are a boatload of faith verses that we've heard over the years that have to deal with, you know, trusting God, living by faith, and so on and so forth. But we're just going to look at a very few here just at the beginning. Here in Galatians chapter 3, now look here at verse 11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, how many times have we heard that? The just shall live by faith. Do you see that, church? Amen. We see that. The just shall live by faith. So we have to live by faith. Amen. We've got to live by faith. That means you've got to trust God. And we walk out of the building, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting You like I've never trusted You before. You've got to understand. I mean, when I walked in tonight, I was trusting You, but not like I'm trusting You now. And from this day forward, I'm going to trust You like I've never trusted You before. Do you see? I know You know I'm telling You the truth, God. Haven't we felt like that before? Well, let's look at another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this one a lot of people quote. Right here, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we hear them preach, you can't look at the circumstances. You can't look at what's happening around you. You've got to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't depend on the external. You've got to depend on God and so forth. And so we hear that and we say, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, my body may be demonstrating the symptoms of a sickness, but I can't depend on my body. I've got to depend on God. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you for my healing. I'm believing you and thanking you and praising you for my healing. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Then the healing doesn't come the way we think. Then the people we prayed for in faith don't get healed. Maybe they even die. The blessings that we need never come. And so, you know, you wonder, man, what's going on? I know God, you know, Bible says He can't lie. Well, but you just got to walk by faith, not by sight. Well, I'm walking by faith. Turn out the lights. I'll prove it. I'm walking by faith. We'll look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another one. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Right? So we hear that. It's not enough to believe God exists. You've got to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligent. You see what I mean? And we hear that as, yes, amen. I'm motivated. God, I believe You are, and I believe that You are a rewarder. And we're taught to confess, God is my rewarder. I am blessed. But then after a while, we look around and we think, okay, where are the rewards here? What's going on? I need some help here, God. Where you been? Seems like You work for the preachers, but not for me. God is not a respecter of persons. Okay, then what's going on? I'm trusting You, God. Well, today's going to be different, God. I mean, you know, Sunday in the service, I made a decision I was going to trust You. But now here it is Thursday. And now I'm really going to trust You. I mean, from this day forward, it's going to be, from Sunday to Thursday, it was one thing, but from now on, it's going to be something else. You wait and see. You're going to be proud of me, God. And so, and on it goes. And probably every one of us in here can relate to that. You know what? God, show me how that doesn't work.
It does too.
No. Not if you understand it from His perspective. Okay? Now, we need to back up a little bit. Look in Romans chapter 4. Let's take a look. You know how in the Bible we have these verses and these people that the preachers point to and they say, you know, look at this one. And they give us these examples of people in Scripture about faith. Now, in Romans chapter 4, just begin here in verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So here we say, praise God. You know, Abraham believed God, and righteousness was laid to his account. He trusted God. He had faith in God. So here's an example. You know, follow the example of Abraham, a mighty man of faith. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 11. And there are other verses with all of this as well. But Hebrews chapter 11 is referred to as the, you know, Faith Hall of Fame. All these people that trusted God. Let's look at this for a moment. And it starts out, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many times have we heard that preached? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. In other words, he's saying, you know, I could go on and say, by faith Gideon, by faith Barak, by faith David. See this? Who, verse 33, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, would you like a revelation? I mean, a powerful revelation. This verse right here we just read, this is absolute proof that this planet has been visited by beings from other worlds, because they turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Praise God for the depth of the revelation He's giving us today. Women received their dead. In other words, we could say by faith, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having been providing some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now here we have this list of all these people, right? I mean, just on and on and on it goes. But I want you to think about what we just read. And all these people that were named, all these people that were identified, they're given to us as examples, are they not? Examples of faith. You see this? The Hall of Fame of faith. You've got to have faith like them. You've got to trust God like them. Here's the problem. We do. And this is why we don't receive the blessings. You say, what on God's green earth are you talking about? Now think with me. What is the one thing all of these people have in common? They were lost. Not one of them was born again. Not one was born again. Now listen to this. I'm going to show you something here. When these people are held up to us as examples that we are supposed to follow, what we are being told is to follow the example and live like people, have faith like people who weren't even born again. You say, well, so what's the problem with that? Look what they did. Okay, let me show you a verse here. Look in Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll come back to Hebrews in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. All these people that were identified there in Hebrews, identified by name and identified by, I could speak of more people. They were all lost. Now, let me ask you a question. When you are born into this world, are you born again or born lost? You're born lost, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want you to notice this. For by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. Okay, what does this verse tell us? It tells us that first off, you were not saved, or you were not born again. And the only way that you could be born again is by putting your faith, we know, in Jesus Christ, correct? So therefore, we know, by Scripture itself, we know that like those people who were listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they had faith, they were lost. We're born into this world lost, but we have faith. Listen, all lost people have faith. All of them. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. All lost people have faith. All of them. Every single one of them. Because if you didn't, you couldn't believe in Jesus Christ and be born again. All lost people have faith. Every human being. Atheists have faith. They just, you know, but it's lost person faith. You see this? For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith. So we have it. That's right. Bless God, we've got it, Brother Martin. That's what we're trying to live by. Have you ever considered the possibility that maybe you're trying to live by the wrong faith? So what in the world are you talking about? Turn back over to Hebrews. Let me show you something. This caught my eye. I don't know if it'll catch your eye the way it caught my eye, but I want to point this out to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, now, it's talked about, you know, a certain number of people up to this point. And then, now look here at the very beginning of verse 13. These all died in faith. Now, look at this. Not having received the promises. Now hold on here. I read that and I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. It's, for example, it's already talked about Noah. Did not Noah receive the manifestation of his family being saved from the flood? Did not God tell him, the flood is coming, build the ark, we'll put your family on there, your family will be saved. And so he believed God, did he not? For 100 years, he's building this ark, he builds the ark, his family gets on, bam, the door closes, and here comes the rain. Here come the floods. See this? Everybody on planet Earth died. All the animals died. The waters receded. The ark's on a mountain, the door opens, out they come. Did they not receive the full manifestation of what God promised? This is not a trick question. Did they not receive it? Yes. And what about Abraham? He's already been mentioned before we get to verse 13. And it says here, these all, which would include Abraham. Now let me ask you a question. What did God promise Abraham? God said, Abraham, if you will trust me, if you will believe me, what I want you to do is leave family and leave home, head off in this direction. Abraham says, yeah, but where are we going to go? God says, well, I'll tell you about that later. Right now, just go. Just go. Abraham says, well, all right, I'll leave. And so off he went. And he trusted God. And God began to speak to him. And he says, now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Did he not promise Abraham this vast land? Sure enough, he did. And what happened? Time goes on. He and all that are with him, you know, they're traveling and so forth. And they come to a place to where Abraham and Lot have a discussion. And he says, okay, Lot, you choose which direction you want to go. Lot went in the direction of Sodom, and Abraham standing there. And after Abraham and Lot had separated, God spoke to him. He says, Abraham, stand right there and look around. And so Abraham's standing. He's looking around. And he says, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. He says, you see this land, this beautiful land? You see all of this? And Abraham says, yeah. He says, God says, this is the land I told you I was going to bring you to. This is your promised land. Did Abraham not receive the manifestation of that promise? And then God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham, he's talking with him, and he says, you know, well, God, we've got a problem here. I appreciate all this, all the land and everything, and, you know, this is great, but the thing is, I don't have any kids. I don't have any heirs. And God says, no problem. Just keep trusting me, and you will have an heir. And so Abraham says, well, all right. But I'm getting kind of old here, God, in case you haven't noticed. And so is my wife. God says, don't worry about it. Just keep trusting me. Well, we know about, you know, the Ishmael thing. All right. We're not going to talk about the Ishmael thing. What we want to talk about is that out of the deadness of Abraham's and Sarah's bodies, did God not work a miracle in their bodies to where they could have Isaac? Did he not? He absolutely did. In other words, God had promised Abraham this son, Abraham. In fact, he changed his name. He says, don't even call yourself Abram anymore. From this day forward, you call yourself Abraham, the father of nations. He says, all right. And you call her Sarah. Change their names. Abraham was walking in faith. And he gets, I mean, a miracle in his and Sarah's bodies, a miracle. Isaac is born. Did he not receive the manifestation of the promise? Sure he did. So then what on God's green earth does this mean? They died in faith, not having received the promises. Unless, this is talking about some different promises. Because Scripture proves that all of these, I mean, you keep reading this and it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that these people received promises from God because of their faith walk. Then it turns right around and says these people didn't receive promises. It almost sounds like there's a contradiction. Look in verse 39. And all these, all of them, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But you just got through telling me 38 verses. You're telling me about these people that walked by faith and lived by faith and received the manifestation of promises. Now, God, for a second time, you're telling me that these people, even though they were living by faith, did not receive the promises. What promises could he be talking about? What could he be meaning? Unless he's trying to tell us that there is another kind of faith that's necessary to receive the fullness of what God intends for us. He is identifying every one of these people that they live by faith. Every single one of them, no exceptions. And we keep being pointed to these people that we're supposed to live like them. And God showed me the problem is most of the body of Christ is. But they don't understand it. Now, let's keep going here. Let's clarify this up. So these are our standards. These are the ones that are presented to us. And yet all of these people were born in a lost condition, the same as us, yet they had faith. So therefore, we know we have faith when we're born into this world. Born lost, but we have faith. Look in Galatians chapter 3 one more time here. Galatians chapter 3. Now look at this. In verse 10 it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now I want you to think very closely with me in this. All those people back there in Hebrews chapter 11, now some lived before the law was given, we understand that. The majority of them identified lived after the law was given. Now it says that all of the people that were under the law were also under the curse, having to live by the works of the law, okay? And they did this. Now, why did they do this? They did it out of faith, did they not? Didn't God say to them, okay, here are the blessings, here are the curses. Now, here's the law. You do all of this, you get these blessings. By faith, they lived by the law to try to get the blessings that God had promised them. You see this? And when you read throughout in the Old Testament, you read the history of Israel and you can see how. They lived, when they were doing this, there was great prosperity in the land. There was great peace in the land. The fear of God touched other nations. I mean, over and over again, when they turned away from God, the bad things started to happen. But they were living by faith. And yet it says, verse 11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. So in other words, you can live by faith according to the standard that God has presented and live that way all of your life. But the bottom line is you're still not justified. Now, I'm not going to teach on justification, but justification, salvation, born again, all, I mean, we're talking the same thing here. And he says, so that you can live by faith under the law. And trust me that I will fulfill my promises to you, but that's not going to get you justified. However, the just shall live by faith. Do you see a transition here? On the one hand, you've got lost people living by faith. Then on the other hand, he says, but living by that faith is not going to get you justified. But the just shall live by faith. Okay, now wait a minute. If living by that kind of faith could not get me justified, in part we know because Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. And these people live by faith. There's no doubt about it. The whole chapter is dedicated to them. Then you turn right around and you say, the just shall live by faith. These people were living by faith. Well, I'm living by faith too. And God says, yeah, but they weren't justified. You are. The just are supposed to live by faith. Well, they live by faith. I'm living by faith too. Yeah, but they were lost. They weren't justified. You're justified. The just shall live by faith. God sounds like double talk to me. God says, you know what? You need to meditate my word a little bit more and find out what I'm talking about here. So let's do that. Let's take a look at a few more passages. Like in Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to show you something, man. If you get a hold of this, it's going to change your whole perspective of what it means to live by faith. Galatians chapter 2. Paul writes, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you see this? Christ. Now, we know that Jesus literally, physically, isn't living in Paul. He's making reference to the life of Christ he received when he put his faith in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he says, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live. You see this? Not just the life I live. The life which I now live. Meaning, I was living one way before, but I'm living a different way now. The life that I now live in this flesh body, I live by the faith. What's this next word? It is not the word in. You see that? He says, this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you seeing there's something in this, what Paul is saying? He's saying, look, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I didn't have him before. Christ wasn't living in me before, but now Christ is living in me. And now that Christ is living in me, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It was my faith in the Son of God that got me justified. Now that I'm justified, the just is supposed to live by faith. The life that I now live as a justified person before the very eyes of God, the life that I now live as justified before Him, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see this? Not in the Son of God. For by grace are you saved through faith in the Son of God. Now that you're justified, the just shall live by faith. What faith? The faith of the Son of God. There is a difference in this. And the problem is, all of our lives, figuratively speaking, we've been taught to live according to the faith of Hebrews chapter 11 people. And they weren't justified. Now that we're justified, the life that we're supposed to be living in the flesh is the faith of the Son of God. What does this mean? What do you mean? Listen to this. It means, okay, Paul, think with me. Did Paul live by faith? Hey, a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, this guy should have been in that hall of faith if he had lived back yonder. Before Christ. See this? He lived by faith. That's why he was faith in God, faith in Jehovah, faith in the law. That's why he was going around persecuting the church, because he thought people were trying to teach others to not believe in God. The man lived by faith. The man lived by Hebrews 11 faith like nobody else. And then he turns right around and he says, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, where'd that come from? I got justified because I was born into this world with Hebrews 11 lost person faith, but that was enough faith for me to believe in the Son of God to get born again. I was previously living by a faith that had no foundation other than it came out of my soul, because I had a dead nature on the inside. I did not have Christ faith in me. I had soul faith in me. But it was enough to get me to believe in Christ to be born again. And now that I'm justified, the just shall live by faith. But not the Hebrews 11 faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you some more. Let me show you something here. The only thing that won't convince you is if you don't want to be convinced by the time we're done on this. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Now he just got through giving. Now listen to this. Chapter 11. He starts off and he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then he goes through and gives us an example of a whole list of people who trusted God out of the faith they had in their lost condition, out of their non-justified condition. And he's saying, look at the results they got by trusting God in that lost state. Wherefore, chapter 12, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And a lot of people used to teach that, you know, that there are like bleachers in heaven and all the saints are looking through the clouds. And that is not what this is talking about.
That's what I've always believed.
Then let's clear it up. The cloud of witnesses is the chapter 11 people who have gone on to glory as a result of faith being laid up to their account for the day when Christ would come back, and the faith that was laid to their account would be imparted to them, and they would be raised up with Him at His resurrection. Remember in Matthew chapter 11, it talks about how that at His resurrection, the graves of the saints of old opened up, and they were seen walking around in Jerusalem? I see dead people. You sure do. And they're on the way to heaven. And it says here, we have this whole chapter of witnesses. So great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What's he saying here? Look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author. What does that mean? That's the originator and finisher of our faith. Now hold on. All these people back in Hebrews chapter 11 had faith. Yeah, but they didn't have Jesus. Jesus hadn't come yet, so he could not author in them the faith of the Son of God, whereby they could live as the just are supposed to live. By faith. What faith? The faith that Jesus has authored in your new nature as a result of being born again. You can live your whole life with Hebrews chapter 11 faith and be found pleasing to a certain extent, but you will never do the John chapter 14 verse 12 works of Jesus Christ on Hebrews 11 faith. It's got to be by the faith of the Son of God that He has authored in you when you were born again. Do you see the difference? Jesus never authored faith in anybody before He was crucified, raised from the dead, and born again was available. This is what I call the difference between soul faith and spirit faith. Those people in Hebrews 11 had soul faith. And most of the body of Christ is still living by soul faith. That's why we do believe in God. That's not the question. We read the Bible. We do believe the Word of God. That's not the question. And because we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, and we believe what the Word of God says, we now think we're living by faith. Honey, those people in the Old Testament believed in God and believed in His Word. No different than today. We just have more Word to believe. But just reading it and believing that it's the Word of God does not get you to John chapter 14. It doesn't get you to Mark chapter 16, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. It doesn't get you to John 16, casting out devils. It doesn't get you there. It doesn't happen. The only way that you can conform to the image of Christ and do the works of Christ is if you do like Paul said, the life that I now live in this flesh. I'm not living by Hebrews 11 soul faith. I'm living it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And God showed me so clearly, most of my children are living by soul faith. They love me, they trust me, they believe me, but they're not, now listen, they're not getting the manifested promises that I've made to those who have been justified. You see this? We're born again. We're not, this, can you see how this is so different from the faith messages we've heard over the years? Constantly. We've been told, trust in God, trust in God, trust in God, and we do. But what we're missing is that there's a whole different kind of faith we have to live by once we're justified. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, where did you get it? I put my faith in Him. My sin nature was removed. He gave to me His own life and nature. Now listen to this. Contained in that life and nature, listen, was a seed of faith that came straight from the Son of God as He authored it in me at the moment of salvation. And not only did He author it in me, He is the finisher of that faith. The completer, the perfecter. That's what that word finisher means. Jesus was giving us a bit of a clue here when He said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, get out, and it goes. So what happened? He says, look, when you accepted me as Lord and Savior, you got born again. And in that born again spirit, what I want you to do is consider that I have authored in you my faith. Listen, what other faith could He author in us other than His own faith? Because if it's the life of God, see this? This is what Jesus lived by. He didn't live by Hebrews 11 faith. See, this is one of the reasons why some of these people in the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they were still living under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, they're watching Him, and they were having such a hard time figuring out, where is this guy coming from? It's because he was living by God faith, if you will, Father faith, Christ's faith. He's living by that kind of faith, doing these things. And these people were still living by Hebrews 11, soul faith. That's why he would say things like, look, if you believe in God, believe in me. Because it'll get you to the place of having a complete transition, and you'll move not just from being dead, you'll move to life, not just from being lost to being saved, but you will also move from soul faith to God faith. It will be authored in you and out of God faith, out of the faith I author in you, the faith of the Son of God that will be in you. It's out of that faith you will be able to raise the dead, open the blind eyes, cause the lame to walk, do all of these things. That's why so many times we lay hands on people, I believe, nothing happens. It's like, well, I believed. And God says, yes, you did. God is in agreement with you. He says, you did believe. The problem is you were believing with Hebrews 11 soul faith. You were simply acknowledging that all of these things are true. But the life of the faith that has been authored in you has not been developed to the point of doing what your true example did. Our true example is Jesus. It's not the people in Hebrews 11, because in Hebrews 12, he says, now looking unto Jesus. Now, these are the people that live by soul faith. Look what they accomplished with soul faith. But now we're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, not these people in Hebrews 11, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, not their faith, of our faith. Do you see this transition? This is where we blow it. It's where I've blown it. Because if I'm not focusing on developing the faith of the Son of God that's been authored in me, I will not be able to do the things that God wants me to do. Very simple. I won't be able to stand up to the winds and the storms in my life and say, peace be still. Because I'll be operating by soul faith. Remember when he did that? Scared those guys? Who is this? Speaks to the wind and the waves and they obey him. He says, well, it's no big deal when you operate by this kind of faith. This is why it was so easy for Jesus. He was operating with a whole different kind of faith. And he has been given to us as the example. Let me show you something here. Can I share something with you here? A lot of the faith preachers, now I said a lot, I did not say all, okay? A lot of the people that have preached faith to us have been living by soul faith. Look, it's not hard to stand up when you have a particular type of personality and a particular style of delivery and so forth. It's not hard to stand up and preach a week worth of soul faith sermons and get huge, massive offerings. If you trust God, you will be able to raise the dead. You will call. And it's, I mean, you just keep doing that over and over again. But you don't explain to them that basically you're just telling them to keep believe God the way they're believing God. That is Hebrews 11 soul faith. You don't transition them over into Hebrews chapter 12. And you do it just right with, you get all kinds of offerings come in. All this money comes in. You got, your ministry is growing and money and things doing this and all that. You see what I'm saying? And then it looks like to everybody else, it's working for him, but it doesn't work for me. Well, we'll take you on the circuit. We'll stand you up and let you preach. You're going to have to develop some, excitement in your style. Let you take up offerings. Be the same thing for you. You see this? You say, well, how? Okay, Brother Martin, I'm seeing what you're saying here. Everybody who's lost ever in all of history, even today, they're born into this world lost. But they have soul faith, which is enough to get them, Ephesians 2:8, born again. It's enough for them to live just like the people in Hebrews 11. It's enough for them to live like that. And it is. Scripture proves this. But I see what you're saying, how that once we get born again, the lost sin nature is gone, and I now have God's life and nature in me. And that because of that, Jesus himself has authored a new kind of faith in me. A faith that's birthed out of spiritual life. operates out of spiritual life, is based upon spiritual life. I didn't have that when I was lost. Hebrews 11 people didn't have that. They were lost. But now that I'm justified, I am to live by faith, but not that old soul faith. I'm to live by the faith of the Son of God who authored it in me. Okay, how do I do that? It's not difficult. First, look in Romans chapter 10. You're born with soul faith. Listen, you don't have to work to develop soul faith. It's already there. You don't have to work to develop that. It's there. Every morning you wake up, it's there. Even when you get born again, you still have soul faith. It doesn't go away. You always have soul faith. It's just that now, through being born again, Jesus has authored in you a new kind of faith, or an additional kind of faith, or a second kind of faith that you can live by. And it's faith based upon your spiritual life you received through Him. So how do I develop it? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This isn't soul faith. See this? Jesus was the Word made flesh. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You feed, remember? It has to grow and develop. Look, guys, if we could automatically, the moment we get born again, start operating at, you know, the true example, Jesus, our true example, if we could just instantly, the moment we're born again, start operating at that level of spirit faith, we wouldn't have a whole lot of this stuff going on. We wouldn't have a whole lot of sermons being preached that are being preached, a whole lot of lessons being taught that we wouldn't have it, because we'd already be operating at that level. But you and I both know it doesn't happen that way. So that means something's got to happen to cause the spirit life, okay? We've been living by soul faith. And we've been focusing on soul faith. And we've been trusting God through soul faith. And God says, well, yeah, I mean, there's a working element to that. And I agree with you that you're trusting me and believing me and not denying my word. I agree with you. But it's based on Hebrews 11, soul faith. But now you're justified in my eyes, born again. You're supposed to be living by a whole different kind of faith that was authored in you the moment you got born again. The spirit faith has got to get to the place to where it's more powerful, greater, higher, etc., than the soul faith. You see that? When that happens, you begin to lay hands, you get the Jesus results. That's why He said, the works I do, you can do also, but you got to believe. I do believe. Yeah, but you're believing with soul faith. And you had that when you were born. You don't need to develop that. You just convince yourself of things and live by it. It's what happened in the Old Testament. He said, but see, you're born again now. You're in a whole new realm. You're a spirit being with my life in you. And Jesus, my Son, authored my faith in you. That spirit faith has got to come to the place of dominating you. When it does, you start seeing the things I promised manifest in your life. And if you want to get this faith, this spirit faith, to begin to develop and grow, spirit faith comes from, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So what we do is we read the Bible, soul faith. We read the Bible, yes, amen, that's right. And we believe it. God says, yeah, great. They believed it in the Old Testament. It's what got Abraham a son. But it didn't get him anything else. You see what I mean? He says, but for you, you better get into this, because it's a revelation of what spirit faith can do. And my son was the perfect example. Let me show you another one. Last verse. Jude.
I knew he's going there. I just knew he's going there, Brother Martin.
Jude. Look here in verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 11 people couldn't do that. So when I pray in tongues, what happens is the Holy Spirit begins interacting with me on a spiritual level. And in a way that I can't fully explain, I can't give you a soul comprehending kind of formula for this. But when I begin to pray in tongues, what happens? The Holy Spirit begins working with me on that spiritual level in my born-again spirit. And He begins working with me in the area of spirit life. You see this? Not soul or spirit faith. Not soul faith. Spirit. He knows I've got soul faith because He knows that's how I got born again. He knows that. So now, he says, look, we've got to work on this. You've been living on soul faith for the last 37 years of your Christian life. And that's why you have all these doubts. Listen, guys, listen. Spirit faith does not walk in doubt. Ever. Ever. Spirit faith knows this word works. Spirit faith knows. I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get healed. Listen to this. Listen. Spirit faith can look at a blind man and say, well, what do you want? What do you want? I want my eyes. I want to see. And spirit faith says, okay, here. Receive your sight. Spirit, you see this? And this is why it's been so confusing for us, because we read these things about Jesus and we scratch our heads and think, my goodness, how could he do that? And he says, hey, I've authored the same kind of faith in you. Now what you need to do is work on developing it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That faith, that the Word of God, it's spirit, it's life. Those words will begin to work on you, on your spirit faith. And then when you begin to pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost is bypassing all the soul stuff, all the soul faith. He's going directly in there with the spirit faith, and He's working on you on that spirit faith level to help your spirit faith continue to grow and be built up and to be edified to the point to where it dominates soul faith, so you wake up in the morning and you don't doubt or question what God will do. You know what's going to happen. You know it. When Jesus woke up in the morning, He didn't think, oh God, what if some sick person comes by me today and wants me to healing? What am I going to do? Oh God, what am I going to do? He didn't wake up like that. He woke up. I don't know what kind of revelation he got from the Father about what the day was going to bring. I don't know what every day was like with Jesus, but if he ever woke up and didn't know ahead of time that somebody was going to want healing, when that event did come up, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Bring him here. The lady with the issue of blood, who touched me? Meaning, I haven't received a revelation from the Holy Spirit as to who did this thing. Who touched me? Spirit faith knows this works. This is why, it's like God, He showed this to me. He said, most of my church is living by soul faith. And it is commendable. But only on a Hebrews 11 way. You have to transition from Hebrews 11 into Hebrews 12. Now looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What they didn't have. And this is why there is such an emphasis. Really, prayer, worship, the Word, fasting. Remember, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. God keeps pointing us to the things that are going to help us to develop our spirit faith. So, you know what spirit faith does? The end result? One of the things? Revival. Your spirit faith cannot grow past the soul faith without purging all the junk in the process. So all the unbelief, all the whatever the junk is in our lives, doesn't matter, yours, mine, spirit faith is growing. All this stuff's being purged so that spirit faith can flow like a river out of us to those around us. This is why I have not seen the consistent results in my own walk with God. It's because too often I've relied on and lived by soul faith instead of spirit faith. The faith that Jesus authored in me. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit standing by and just looking at this, shaking his head thinking, if they would only turn me loose and just keep turning me loose and just keep turning me loose, I could help them get past soul faith and live by spirit faith. The faith the just are supposed to live by. this is really, I don't want to say it's put me on a guilt trip, but it's really made me accountable. Because now I understand more than ever where I've missed it over the years. I've been trying to live by all those Hebrews 11 people that the preachers pointed me to, when I should have been looking at Hebrews 12, Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And the thing is, man, praise God. All I have to do is just keep feasting, reading, meditating, confessing, and all this. I mean, I don't mean just casual approach reading and so forth. Get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And you need to understand this Word, the more we put in, it's like our spirit faith is a magnet pulling it in, feasting on it. I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gets involved with this. Guys, the change will happen. Amen. It's impossible for it not to happen. Amen. It'll come. Yeah, it's a process. Yeah, it takes time. But it'll come. And I can end up living by the kind of faith, like Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read one more thing to you. It's going to clear up a piece of Scripture. I almost forgot it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now listen to this. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." The gospel is the revelation of how to move from living by soul faith to get born again and have Jesus author faith in you, so you can go from soul faith to spirit faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. You see this? He's telling you right here, you got to move from soul faith to spirit faith, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the first step in that direction. Praise God. I tell you what, I'm excited about this message. It has opened a lot of doors of understanding for me that I didn't have. I know some people may listen to this and think, "Well, I already knew that." Well, praise God, then let's bring you over here and let you rest some dead people. We got a bunch of them that need it. I'm encouraged. I don't know about you, but I am encouraged. Man, I want my spirit faith built up. I want to live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith in Him got me born again. Now I'm going to live by that faith He's authored in me.